this time, though, I'd like you to turn your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 10. I want to share with you from Romans chapter 10 a message the Lord's laid on my heart, a message that deals with missions as well as church planting, a message I think will challenge you as it challenges me. It originally came from the Lord himself, through the Holy Spirit, as he gave this message to the Apostle Paul. And I entitled this message, The Basic Necessities of Missions. And I believe the Apostle Paul gives us these basic necessities right here in Romans chapter 10. We're familiar with this passage of Scripture, and we'll look at it in just a moment after we have a word of prayer. So, Father, bless this time now as we look into your word. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, that we have heard this good news, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I believe most, if not everyone in this room, probably has trusted Christ as Savior. But, Lord, there are so many more yet in our country, yet alone in this world, who have yet to hear and yet to believe. And, Lord, may our hearts be burdened as your heart is burdened for the lost souls of men and women who will live somewhere forever. Now, bless this time, Father. Use me as your messenger. Fill me with your Spirit who has given us your word. May you be glorified by everything that's said and done tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. As most of you know, this year marks the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. On April 15th, 1912, the Titanic sank on its maiden voyage from England back over to the U.S. And what a tragic event that was. And of course, this past year, you might have seen some documentaries on TV and the Discovery Channel or something that might have referred to it or showed you some things. They've constantly been studying the Titanic for decades. And some startling conclusions came out just recently. A couple of things they said, you know, this was supposedly the ship that was unsinkable, but obviously that was wrong. And they had a little too much faith in man, a little too less faith in God. But they found out a couple of things that contributed to the sinking of the ship. For one thing, they said that ship was definitely moving too fast to be going through a sea of icebergs. It was just moving too fast. They wouldn't be able to miss them, even if they came upon them, which obviously they couldn't miss. They did not miss the one that damaged the ship. But secondly, they also discovered that the steel that was used got too rigid and too brittle in the icy waters. But one basic necessity that was totally neglected because of their pride was that there was only enough lifeboats for about half the passengers. Now imagine that. In this day and age, we don't think about that because any ship that goes out into sea, and I know you have ships that go out here, either military ships and cruise ships that leave from Fort Lauderdale and leave from Miami, you could not leave, one of those ships could not leave port if it did not have enough lifeboats for all the passengers on board. But yet the Titanic left on that maiden voyage with only enough lifeboats for half its passengers. A basic necessity was definitely neglected. You know, there's some basic necessities of missions that sometimes we neglect in our local churches. Now, I want to share some of those with you tonight as we consider here in Romans chapter 10. Follow along with me, if you would, as I read from Romans 10, just verses 13 through 15. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Familiar passage. Don't let the familiarity of this passage keep you from paying attention to its words. Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Here the Apostle Paul gives us five basic necessities of missions I want to share with you. Now, for our time's sake, I'm going to speak very quickly, so you need to listen very quickly as well. And we're going to look at these together. But this is a familiar passage to you, I know, as well. But let's consider these five basic necessities, and let's make sure we're not leaving any of them out as we share the good news and as we consider our part in missions. First of all, there is the need to call upon the name of the Lord. Romans 10, verse 13. You probably have that memorized. You probably have quoted this to people as well. But there is the need to call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a great promise, right? But there's the need to call. Now, what does that mean? Just say Jesus' name? Say it over and over again like some churches do? Just keep on saying Jesus, 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 and I'm calling the name of the Lord? Is that what that means? Well, no, I think we know that already, even though some churches and some TV evangelists kind of just get that kind of message. It's not just a simple message, just saying a certain chant or a certain little mantra or saying words in some order in order to be saved. That's not what it means at all. It talks about the need to call out in desperation. When you realize that nothing that you are able to do, nothing that religion can offer is enough. Only Jesus does what is necessary for your salvation. Only Jesus has the answer for your soul's needs. That's what this is referring to. It's a call of desperation. Some of you might remember back in 1996, and I knew this and came up with this because I lived in the military area back in Williamsburg, Virginia. A lot of military were in our church, a lot of Navy, a lot of Army were in our church as well, and had a few Marines, Air Force as well. And so they're all very riveted by this story in 1996 of this young Marine who fell off of an aircraft carrier. Back in those days, back in 1996, it was common for the Marines to have an attachment on an aircraft carrier that kind of kept peace. You know, kept the sailors in line, was kind of what they said. And now I think they realized after a time that the sailors had to provide their own military police. But back then, they had a Marine attachment on the aircraft carrier. And this young Marine, after duty, was just going out and walking around the deck, just getting some fresh air. And before he realized what happened, he slipped and fell overboard. And there he was in Mediterranean waters, bobbing up and down the water. It's nighttime. He's watching the ship. He knew any time he'd hear the old call, "Man overboard!" And as he listened for the man overboard, the ship got smaller and smaller. He thought, well, surely they'll figure out that I'm missing. And one of my buddies will tell the captain, and they'll turn the ship around. But the lights in the ship vanished on the horizon. He began treading water and treading water all night long. And finally he saw a light, but it wasn't a ship. It was the sun rising. He had been treading water for hours and hours, still knowing that sooner or later they'll find him. He continued to tread water. His training kicked in, and he was on survival mode. There he was, Mediterranean Sea, treading water for hours after hours after hours. He became sunburned. He was so thirsty, being surrounded by water, but couldn't drink the salt water. He thought he would die of thirst, but he wouldn't give up, and he continued to tread water. And 22 hours later, a Greek fishing merchant ship approached him. Now, what do you think he did? You think he said, well, that's not an American ship. I'm going to just stay here out of the water. I'm not even going to call out to them. No, he saw the ship, and he started screaming with all his energy. Help! 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 He was desperate. He knew he couldn't last much longer. 22 hours of treading water. And the Greek merchant ship, though, they could not speak his language. They understood what he was saying. Pulled him out of the water and brought him to safety. He told that story. This is the man who was calling out in aid. This is what it refers to, that whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When we come to the end of ourselves and we realize that all that we try to do, all of our good works, all we try to do was not enough, and we call out in desperation to Christ. That's a good picture, isn't it, of salvation. And that young Marine understood salvation in a real sense. I trust he also knows in a spiritual sense as well. I trust you also know salvation in a spiritual sense. I hope that you've come to a point in your life where you realize that all you try to do, all your good works, whatever you're trusting in is not good enough. And in desperation, you call out to Christ as your only hope of salvation. First is the need to call upon the name of the Lord. Secondly, there's the need to believe enough truths to be able to call. The need to believe enough truths to be able to call. Because verse 14 goes on to say, how then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And not just knowing, and the pastor alluded to this in his message this morning, it's not just knowing the truths, but believing the truths. You know, it's not just enough to know the facts. Lots of people in hell in the future will know the facts. They'll know that Jesus lived a sinless life. They'll know that he's been virgin born. They'll know that he died upon the cross and rose again. But they never believed on what he's done. That was what was necessary for their salvation. Maybe they believe it was just an example. Maybe they just believed it. Just the head knowledge alone did not allow that message to change their lives. They did not know enough to believe. They did not believe enough the truths to be able to call upon him. But that's the second need. There's a need to believe enough the truths to be able to call upon him. Remember Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10? For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of what? Works, lest any man should boast. See, it's not enough believing that, well, you know, Jesus did all that, but, you know, I'm going to do it on my own. I'm a self-made man. I'm going to get there on my own efforts. That's not what it's talking about. That's not enough for us to call and trust Christ as Savior. We're not going to call out in desperation until we realize And we are sinners bound for a Christless eternity. And Jesus is the only answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. We must know enough the truths to be able to call. By the way, just knowing the facts isn't enough either. As I said before, the demons, James chapter 2 tells us, the demons know the truths. You know, the demons, the devil and his demons are Bible scholars. But they're going to be in hell, separated from God from all eternity, because they have rejected God. And unfortunately, so have many others. And there's the need to believe enough the truths to be able to call. A third need we see in verse 14 as we continue is the need to hear the word of God. It goes on in verse 14, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Well, that's a kind of common sense, right? I mean, how can someone call out in desperation on someone they have not believed in? And how can they believe in someone they've never even heard of before? We say, well, we live in America. Everyone's heard of Jesus Christ. You know what? I'm finding more and more Americans have not heard of Jesus Christ. No, don't get me wrong. They may have heard him in swearing. They may have been cussed out by Jesus in Jesus' name. But they've never heard the truth of who Jesus is. And that Jesus loved them so much, he died on the cross in their place. There's a need to hear this message. So many still have never heard, even in our country. You know, I think we have been so much failures in America to reach people with the gospel and reach the world with the gospel. The Lord has allowed America to be blessed this time, not because of anything good we're doing, because we're not worthy of God's blessings. But God is blessing America so people from other parts of the world would want to come here. Now, they may be coming here in order to make money or in order to seek freedom, but we should see them coming here in order to be able to hear the gospel. And we need to see people like that. Our neighbors, our co-workers, people we rub shoulders with each day, we need to see them as people who are going to live somewhere forever. We may not be able to speak their language. Then let's learn their language. Or let's learn somehow to communicate. Let's find gospel tracts in their language. But let's get the good news to them. And you know what I have found from many of my friends who have caught on to this vision? They have seen many people from different parts of the world come to trust Christ as Savior. And you know what these new people, many times these new folks realize? They realize this is the message that my soul's been searching for. This is what my soul has desired all its life. I'm not staying here in America. I'm going back to my family, to my home, and take this message to them. You know how long they have to be on deputation? Zero. You know how hard they have getting into the country? No difficulty at all. They go back to their homes and they take the message that has changed them and will change people as well. We need to realize that people need to hear the word of God. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? We have to get the message to them. People need to understand. Do you know the early American missionary movement was like Hudson Taylor and William Carey and those fathers of American missionary movement were challenged by this verse. They were challenged by the fact there are people in other parts of the world who have not heard of Jesus Christ. And they gave up and they went to China, Hudson Taylor, or they went to India like William Carey, and they took the gospel to other parts of the world where people have not heard the name of Jesus Christ. Because Christ will change them forever when people in desperation call out to Christ, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. People need to hear this good news. People need to hear it. Now, once again, it's not always audible. There's many other ways we can let people hear the word of God today. Audible is a great way, but it can be through gospel tracts. Do you still use gospel tracts? You say, well, you know, gospel tracts aren't that effective. Says who? The devil says that. You believe everything he says? Gospel tract is effective as God is able to use it. Every time I start thinking that way, I hear someone get up and say, you know, when I was 17 years old, I picked up a gospel tract off a park bench. And I didn't know what the thing was, and I was going to throw it away, and I started reading, I couldn't put it down. And I read that, and I trusted Christ as Savior, and I said, yep, I'm going to keep giving them out. You know, God knows whose hearts he's prepared. Some people won't listen to you share the gospel, but they'll read. They'll read the truth, and the truth will set them free. Keep giving out gospel tracts. Get them in different languages. Hand out the good news to people. Share the good news. Do what you can to get this word out, because Isaiah told us long ago, God's word will not return void. Even if you're sharing with someone, someone at a grocery store, someone at a convenience store, share the gospel with them. Quote them a scripture verse. You know, I'm having a terrible day. You know what, my friend, let me tell you, thanks for waiting on me. And remember, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. You can call upon Christ. Just a little bit of Bible verse. You know, God's word goes a lot better than our words do. Give them God's word. Remind them of God's love. Remind them that Christ has provided for them. Quote Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remind them of these things. The need to hear the word of God. A fourth need we find in this passage is the need to proclaim the word of God. Verse 14 continues, the last clause down there. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now this word preacher refers to the herald, the one, the messenger. A herald, and we would have these in Colonial Williamsburg before we got there, but it still was in the history of Colonial Williamsburg. The governor would send out a message. He would write out the message, and whatever the message was that was to be communicated, he would give it to a herald, or we might call him in our American culture, a town crier. The town crier would ride into town on his horse. He would make a lot of noise. He's riding into town. He would call people together in the city center. He would open up the message of the governor. He would read it out verbatim what the governor said. It wasn't his job to ad lib. It wasn't his job to paraphrase. It wasn't his job to go through and explain or make any exclusions. He read the message of the higher authority. You know, sometimes people weren't there in town central when that took place. Sometimes brothers or mothers or others were not in town. Maybe father was out in the fields working. And so family members and friends neighbors would take this message to the next person. And they would go out to the next person and said, you weren't in town today, Pastor, but I'll tell you what the governor said. The governor said this, this, this. It wasn't my responsibility to change the wording. I was basically to say the same message that the town crier brought, which was the same message the governor sent forth. Now, maybe I couldn't do it as eloquently as the town crier. That's why he was paid to do it. I was just as a friend who wanted to pass on the message. But you know, that's what we really are supposed to be doing. We are to be taking this good news to everyone, sharing this good news. How will they hear without a preacher? Doesn't just mean the man who stands behind this pulpit. This is the man that God has gifted and given the ability to be able to proclaim God's word. But not everyone's going to hear this. You hear this good news, and you know what you should do? Take it to those who weren't here. Go out to your neighbors tonight or to your coworkers tomorrow, around the lunch table at work, or across the chain link fence tomorrow night after work or whatever, and tell your neighbor, you know what? Jesus Christ loves you. And we're learning all about how we can love our wives. And we're learning about this in God's word. Practical help for that. And we're also learning last night in church that God so loved you so much that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And just give the message. You say, well, I'm not as eloquent as my pastor is. You're not supposed to be. He's been gifted. He has a stewardship responsibility. But the same message is to be developed and given out to others. Because people will not hear unless there's a preacher that will take this message forth. Don't have to add to it. You don't have to be creative with it. Just simply, truthfully, give out the message from our higher authority, from the Lord himself, as he's given to us right here. And by the way, you don't have to wait for someone to ride in town telling you anymore. We all have it right here in our hands. And we can read it, study it, and memorize it, and share it with anyone. The need to proclaim the word of God. As verse 14 says, once again, how shall they hear without a preacher? People won't. We need to make sure we're proclaiming it, that we're sharing it, that we're sharing it verbally, that we're sharing it over the internet. You know what? You have friends you have not seen in years. Maybe you're involved with emailing with them and keeping in contact. Maybe you Facebook with people to keep, you know, just to keep in contact with folks you haven't seen for years. Have you given the gospel to them? You know, you don't have to bring someone to church to share the good news. You can call them on your cell phone and share what God's doing in your life and how it's met your greatest needs and how you, as a friend, want them to know what will set them free. You know, just let's make sure we are proclaiming this. It's not just say, well, that's the preacher's job. That's not what this means. We are all to be heralds of this message. And then it goes on. The fifth basic need is right in verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? There's the need then also to send forth preachers. You know, sometimes, in some places, You can't go and take this message. But there's still people in other parts of the world, like China, where I'm very actively involved in, and where there's 1.4 billion people, they're estimated. And that may be a lowball estimate, by the way, because a lot of folks do not report their second and third child that's born. So there's some estimates that are even greater than that. But over 1.4 billion people, many of whom still have not come to trust Christ as Savior, many of whom have not yet even heard of Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, I was just sharing with the pastor today at lunchtime about the fact that by working with the house churches and the groups of house churches that are there, it's very exciting. As I'm over there training these leaders of the house churches that have hundreds of churches under their authority and under their responsibility, but how we've come back and realized that by good estimates and by conservative estimates, there could be about 120 million born-again believers in China. 120 million. That's one-third of our country's total population. And these are not just people who call themselves Christians like people in America do, but people who are willing to pay the cost. People, you see, it's not popular to be a Christian over there. It's not a common thing for a politician to stand up and say, I'm a Christian, God bless America. It's not a common thing over there. When you say you're a Christian over there, you better be serious because you may end up being thrown in jail, you may be arrested, you may be persecuted, and on it goes. 120 million. And I was rejoicing with my coworkers. That's so exciting. God is doing such a great work. And he says, yes, but that's less than 10% of the population. Didn't think of it like that. Gives a new perspective, doesn't it? Less than 10% of the Chinese population are truly born-again believers. That means we have a lot of work to do. There's 1.2 million yet to be reached. You know, there's a lot of people in the world yet to be reached. And what are we doing about that? That's why there's a need for us to continue to be involved in missions. That's why there's a need for you to get behind Plantation Baptist Church and continue to be involved in missions. Local missions, your own personal evangelism, starting local churches, but also foreign missions and sending this good news across the world. Because there's a need. There's these five basic needs for the gospel to go forth. Five basic needs of missions. There's a need to send preachers and missionaries. Why is there a need to do that? Because there's a need to proclaim the word of God. Because there's a need to hear the word of God. Because there's a need to believe enough the truths to be able to call upon Christ. And basically, we all have the need to call upon the name of the Lord. In desperation to realize that we are sinless, that we are sinful and hopeless without Christ. And only in Christ will we find our greatest need met, that of salvation in Christ. Yes, unfortunately, the Titanic skipped one of the most basic of the necessities, enough lifeboats for all the passengers to be able to get in. And thus, 800 people perished that night on that ship, the great Titanic. And we still look back at it today with just shock. One of the men who perished on that ship that night, on the Titanic that night, was a preacher. His name was John Harper. He was a preacher and a pastor outside of London. He had been invited to come over to Chicago and preach at the Moody Church back in 1912. So he and his six-year-old daughter was making the journey across the Atlantic Ocean over to America when the Titanic hit that iceberg. Harper would go from person to person and would ask them if they trusted Christ as Savior. He was known to proclaim, people would say this, he would shout, women, children, and unsaved, head to the lifeboats. Because he realized none of them, at least the unsaved especially, were ready to die. Save women, save children to the lifeboats as well. But the unsaved better get there too, because they're not ready to drown. But he was ready. He would go from person to person and please try to convince them, please trust in Christ. In fact, we have met one man. He says, sir, please call upon Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the man said, it's just too simple. I can't believe that. I can't believe that's all I need to do in order to be saved. My sins be forgiven. And John Harper took his life jacket off and said, you need this more than me. He gave it to that man. He would go from, after many everyone fell overboard, he was known to go from person to person. Swim from person to person and say, sir, have you trusted Jesus Christ? Are you trusting him as your Savior? If they had, he went on to the next person. If not, he pled with them to trust Christ. Then he would swim to the next person, until finally the icy waters took over John Harper's life. But he preached to the very end because he realized the need for people to call upon the name of the Lord. Do we realize that need? Do we realize these five basic needs? for missions, the greatest of which is the need for people to call upon the name of the Lord. Do you realize that's your greatest need if you have not trusted Christ as your Savior? And if you have, what are you doing to get this message out to others? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's remember that, and let's be involved on a personal basis, giving out this good news, on a local church basis, and starting other local churches. As a pastor may look at opportunities in the future and needs in this area, the greater Fort Lauderdale, Miami area, South Florida area that need churches, get behind those who will go and start fundamental churches in order to get this message out, and also be involved in church planting all over America and all over the world to the glory of God. Let's realize and not forget these basic necessities of missions. Pastor?